The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised. BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime.
Oh, let's go!
Footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. It's the footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jim, and JC. All we know and all we talk about is footy, footy. It's time to get this party started tonight.
BetMGM is the place for soccer in Canada, and it presents Footy Prime this Tuesday. Hello, football fans. Myself, Shams, Craig Forrest, Dan Wong, JC's here. Dubs is waiting in an airport, delayed. Coming to Toronto for some NSL duty, I believe. No, international. Sorry, Canada women's duty, actually.
Friendlies.
And Jambo Brennan is on TFC duty. So the four of us today. But that's okay, because it's high time we had a Wongers mail sack, or a Mongers whale sack, as sometimes it's known. We got a lot of great comments actually last week or so over a variety of topics. Where do you want to start today, Wonga?
This topic is one that might, I don't want it to hit the wrong way, but it's something that we talked about a lot. And Craig and I have been talking about it more than probably most. And it was about, we were all there, at least four of the six of us were. It was during the Tunisia game, and it was the Ralph Prizo injury. And Craig and I were just talking about it the other day, and someone threw in, I'm going to pull up our comment. God, what is going on here?
What are you doing?
I'm trying to pull it up. Did it go up?
Don't pull it out.
There you go. From our friend Aaron Quintery, do you think the weather delay affected proper warm-up for Prizo for the game? So I don't want to throw anyone under the bus or anything like that, but it was, if you guys can confirm, but, you know, it seemed like it was about an hour and a half that we were at BMO doing absolutely nothing, talking to everybody in the press box, right, basically. pouring rain. And I don't know if anyone was noticing how Canada was warming up and how Tunisia was rewarming up when they re-entered the field. But Craig mentioned it to me. And I wanted to know, what is the process? Because I've never been in that situation on the pitch, on the field, any way in that long a period. But what is the normal process for that, Craig? Whether it's rain delay or bus delay or something, and why did it stick out to you was the big question.
Well, I mean, when you're dealing with a delay like that, I mean, you've had somewhat of a warm-up prior to the game, and then it gets delayed and then delayed again, and you're stuck underground. Obviously the weather is terrible, and then when you come back out to try to get yourself ready for the game, it's really important that you warm up entirely, and there is always a risk of a muscle injury if you don't. And I think when I was looking at the Canada team and the Tunisian team, Tunisia were actually pretty very structured in their warm-up when they came back out. Canada wasn't so much, I thought. They were just sort of doing their own thing, which is okay. But as a coach and as a physician, a physio, you want to make sure that everybody is in an area where you're not going to get a muscle injury that's going to cause you, a player, to miss a bunch of time. Good example of, teams with no muscle in a different sport, but the Raptors, all season long, I don't think they've missed a game, anybody with a soft tissue injury. So that goes a long way to their staff, obviously, and Alex McKechnie, but these soft tissue injuries are potentially a problem, and you have to make sure you put yourself in a position where that's not going to happen. I'm not saying that's exactly what happened, because it, mistakes and certainly injuries like that are potentially a problem at any time. But considering there was a long delay and then he pulls his hamstring soon after that, that's telling me that there's something wrong in his process getting warmed up for the game.
I bet you if the Raptors were tanking, there'd be some soft muscle injuries.
Yeah, right.
I guarantee you that.
Nothing to play for?
Yeah, the old tanking.
But yeah, it's a good point. I mean, listen, we don't know what was happening in the depths of BMO Field. It's a home team. They have more facilities available to them too, I wonder, to warm up away from, you know, off the pitch. But it happens a lot though, right? We see this all the time. We see rain delays, weather delays, players coming back out there. And no matter how structured your warm-up is, it's not perfect. It's not the normal process. Mm-hmm. And this, hey, listen, this may have happened to Prizo anyway. We just don't know, but it's a valid point. It's interesting what methodology is to stay warm. What's the longest delay you ever experienced, Craig? Do you remember?
We've had an hour. Yeah. An hour. And then even when you go back to the Gold Cup in 2000, the quarterfinals against Mexico, there was a doubleheader. So we were the second game of the doubleheader. We didn't get a warm up at all. Literally, like, the game ended and we went out, and basically 5 minutes, you're turning it on and you're playing.
Really?
Yeah. So the entire warm up was in the bowels of the stadium.
That would
be allowed. And I remember the first goal I conceded, I was certain that if I'd had a proper warm up, I would have saved it. And Mexico went 1-0 up, and I was like fuming that I didn't have a proper warm up because I thought I would have seen the ball better.
Blaming everyone.
Yeah. Well, imagine how they were not a good situation. No.
How the CPL final last year, that fiasco, how they would have felt trying to warm up in those conditions. And it went on and on and on. It seems, I'm not sure how long the delay was now, but it seems like it was about 3 days.
It does. Back
now, doesn't it? I forget the actual thing now, but it's, muscles get tight. I was in the press box for Tunisia, right? I pulled my hamstring once the game resumed within the first 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So, you know?
Yeah, we were all stiff just sitting there waiting for an hour and a half.
Yeah. But gee, I got to stand up. Oh, my God. This is terrible. Yeah. good comment, though. Good question, that.
I'm going to comment on it. It stood out because Craig mentioned it that night, and it was funny because I actually tweeted out, sometimes it's really interesting, or actually I think this was in our newsletter. I wrote, sitting with Craig, someone who sees the intricacies of the game that I miss completely, and Craig's actually been the one who actually taught me, hey, look at the buildup. Look at what you should be looking for. Because once again, it's that North American approach to sports. And he said it immediately. And it also reminds me of, going back to the pyramid. Yesterday, the best system in sports, you don't get an appreciation unless you follow this in EPL and European soccer, where they do have the pyramid. And it's just one of those things where you're like, oh, the season's over. When we're brought up in this playoff standard of North American franchise sports, you miss out on all of these other great things. And this pyramid that we talked about yesterday, yes, there's the middle teams that nothing's going to happen to, but it has, you know, the top 5-6 teams battling for Europe, right? Battling for a chance to play in Champions League. Then it has the bottom three, but then the top six in the championship are all battling it out still. This is fantastic. Mm-hmm. It's best thing.
It's got a different system too, right, in Europe. It's great. I love the one in England. Mm-hmm. There's others where in the lower leagues across Europe, you have playoffs to go down. So I forget how it works, Craig, but for example, the bottom two go down, then there's a playoff for the third team to go down. Imagine those playoffs. And what that means to those players individually, and let alone the clubs and the fans, mm-hmm. you're playing in the match and the loser's going down. It could be, you know, financial chaos. That's incredible. Yeah. I think in Sweden they might do that, actually.
Yeah, that's right. The winner or whatever, the division below, would play like the third bottom team in top division. Yeah, that's a good way to do it too.
It is, but at the same time, it's unfair though, right? Because the team in the top flight, for example, does have more money, more resources than the team in the lower division.
Yeah.
In that regard. But sure as hell is great theater.
Oh, yeah.
Hockey. Before your first coffee, while the rest of the city's still hitting snooze, we're breaking down everything that happened last night.
Center, score!
The biggest moments, the key storylines, and the takes that actually matter.
Back for Kudrow, score!
Wake up and get your hockey fix. Fast, smart, and ready for your day with voices who live the game. Morning Hockey starts here. Weekday mornings on SiriusXM Morning Skate. Listen wherever you get your podcasts. Click to SiriusXM.ca/Morning Skate.
I mean, right now, the biggest story for me in the Premier League is, well, outside of the what's going on at the top between City and Arsenal is Spurs. I mean, talk about a team that, you know, is middle of the pack or, you know, challenging for Champions League spots, ever present in the Premier League, has an opportunity to be relegated. And Leeds had a good result yesterday, beating United away. They've jumped about 6 points or so above Spurs with what, six games left.
Plus, I might be a little slow, but I think Craig is getting a little wood, knowing that Tottenham's going down and Ipswich is going up, right?
And West Ham safe.
Yeah, West Ham safe. It's all working out for Craig Forrest. He can't say that very often, but he could say it today.
There's plenty of wood in the forest. But imagine, though, if there was that kind of playoff, right, and he had Spurs third last in the Prem playing against, it wouldn't be an Ipswich, playing against, for example, Hull, who's right now in the bottom six. You know, on paper, that's unfair. And Spurs might find a way to survive, right? Or not. But it'd be great drama. But yeah, it's funny that the pyramid's weird too, right? Because there's pyramids everywhere. But the trouble is over here is the pyramid's backwards, upside down. The money is coming from the base up, and it should be coming down from the top where all the riches are. That's ideally how you do it in a football nation. We're not there yet in Canada, obviously, but they're trying to get there, I think.
North American sports, you see, well, we're just talking about NBA there and tanking because they have an opportunity to get a better chance at a draft pick.
Yeah, exactly. It's crazy, right?
Yeah.
Good night for the Leafs, by the way. They lost somehow yesterday, and they're still remaining fifth worst in the league. One game left. They lose that. There's a chance they'll get to keep their first round pick and get a very good player in the draft. But anyway, Hockey Prime, as mentioned, is on Thursday.
I thought they were winning by a couple last night.
They're winning 3-0, Craig. And then I think it was 3-0, then it was 3-3. Then I believe it was 5-3. And then, or was it 4-3 maybe? And then, in the end, Dallas came back to win. I went to bed in the third period. Couldn't be bothered.
How are you still watching this? What are you doing watching this still?
I hate myself. You know that.
I do.
That's the reason. Why else would I be putting myself? I watch every single Leaf game. I think I watched 79 to 80 of the Leaf games so far this year. And it's been a dreadful year. I haven't enjoyed five of those games, maybe. But I'm watching it with my daughter. She's just obsessed with hockey and the Leafs. But it's been a hard lesson for her this year. She understands what the Leafs do to you as a fan now. So she's becoming extremely jaded, which I think is a success and a victory as a father.
Who is the European parallel comparison to the Leafs? Soccer.
Spurs.
It is Spurs. Okay,
I think so. They should be winning championships. They got the fan base through an amazing city that is great stadium. They just don't spend the money in the right places, and there's never really a real proper plan.
It's been the same thing since. I mean, I got back to Toronto in 2002, and it's the same thing. Like changing the GM. Changing the coach. We need so-and-so. You bring in the top coach. You pay him, what, $10 million a year? And next thing you know, we need another GM. We need some players. It's been the same thing for over 25 years since I've been back.
Same thing. The eyes on something else, right? On you know, the pretty bright lights as opposed to the actual product on the pitch or on the ice.
Yeah, I don't think it's lack of training. I mean, they've had some pretty big people. I mean, like Brian Burke was the guy, and they brought him in They've had the right, you know, they've certainly thrown money at it as far as behind the scenes go to try to make it right, and it's just not happened. And then they had a good team for like 5 years, and they, you know, kept losing in game seven. And when you're doing that, if you got a decent team, you better get through the door when you do, because it's not going to last forever.
And I think
I'm going to do a Keith Pelley impersonation from last night. Okay, start losing.
That was a phone call. But that's the point. I don't want to go into Leafs and hockey talk here. People find it boring. But, I mean, clearly the best thing to do for this team months ago was to lose, to do all you can to lose, right? Yet they don't fire the coach, and he's still trying to win because he's a coach, and he's literally pulling goalies late in games to get a goal back, and he's challenging goals. Like, what are you doing, man? You need to lose this game. It's for the good of the franchise. He's playing veterans, not the kids, but for much of this season, you know, up until recently when they've had to play some kids. It's like, what are you doing? It's common sense. Keith Pelley, take control of this club. Like, Craig Berube is a proud hockey man, a proud coach, right? He's got to try and coach to win, right? Coaches don't coach to lose. He can't, right? So take that power from him.
Well, the problem is, with the Leafs especially, the cost of tickets and the season tickets are thousands and thousands of dollars. And you got people going to the games. You certainly can't be public and vocal about tanking games, right? Like, it's...
But they'd still go though, right, Craig? But don't you think they'd still go to the games? They'd still fill that place? Or at least sell the tickets. I mean, there's empty seats now, but they'd still sell those tickets. Because most of those fans in the lower bowl aren't really fans. They're just corporate. Mm. Right?
And the, no.
But go back to Spurs.
It's all business. Business.
The difference between Spurs and the Leafs is just, you look at the Premier League, the way it's structured, there's always going to be those top teams, the Man Cities, Liverpool's, Chelsea's, Arsenal's, Man U, you know, give or take the last number of years. But there's always been that nucleus of top teams, right? So it's hard to break into that, in fairness to Spurs. Whereas in hockey and North American sports, it's always secular, right? Right now, it's been Florida's domain for the last 2 or 3 years, okay? Mm-hmm. Not this year. There's going to be a new domain, right? It's the way it's structured. You fail, you get rewarded, but there's always going to be over a 5 to 10 year cycle. A cycle only this cycle never fucking includes the Leafs.
That's right. They didn't get through the door.
Right.
I mean, Edmonton.
This episode of Sharmalytics.
Oh my god!
Also, if you mention Alex McKechnie's name one more time, Craig, we get free tickets to the playoff games at the Raptors.
Hey, you never know.
There was yesterday we were talking about, would you rather be making the same money in the or less money in the Prem if your team moves up, or make more money down in the championship if your contract was up? So I wanted to give it a bit of a footy prime thing, a footy prime comparison, just so Sharms could answer this. And it is, Sportsnet, I'm going to use Sportsnet or TSN, say, hey, come and do soccer at our channel, but we'll pay you the same as we pay you as you make at Footy Prime, which is not a lot.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'll miss you. I'll miss all of you. We're good friends. Been doing it for a long time. We're building something here, you know, but yeah, bye.
Adios.
No, that's not true.
That I'm proud so of what we're doing here. Are you kidding me? It was so easy.
Thanks, JC. Good picture. The old Sportsnet shirt that the same money. What is the same of 0-0, Wunger? No, that's not true. Quite true right now.
Well, my point. Would you work for them for free?
Seen the paycheck yet. What's that?
Would you work for them for free?
I wouldn't work anywhere. Like, this is a passion project, right? No, of course not. I wouldn't work anywhere for free outside of Footy Prime and Shaman's Pies, apparently. But
your side,
because this is something we created. This, we're growing this ourselves.
Yes.
I'm not going to reward this multi-billion-dollar business. You know, reward them with my pro bono work. Bono. Unless it's radio, because as we all know, radio is always free. You never get paid for that.
Well, it's free promotion.
I'd like to throw something out there. Oh, sorry, Dan.
Of course.
The difference between Spurs and the Leafs is that this year, Spurs are actually going to be held accountable for their shit, whereas the Leafs will never be held accountable. People will always go. They'll always show up. They're never going to get – there's no relegation. They're still going to get paid. They're going to be the richest team in hockey. They're never going to – it's not going to change. But Spurs, something seriously – will change if they go down. And even if they don't, if they somehow squeak through, there's going to be major, major changes, I would think. I mean, you got a stadium there that's one of the most expensive in the world that's going to be in the championship. That doesn't make sense. But, I mean, Toronto Leafs, it's never going to happen. Because why would it? People still throw money into it. It's still going to – it's there's no accountability. So it'll be interesting to see the parallels and what happens with these two teams this year.
Well, think about it. There's two teams in Ontario. Two. As opposed to London, there's what? How many teams in London, Craig? It's like, it's a ton.
Like 16 or something.
Yes.
Yeah, all the, well, all dependent. Then you have all the leagues, the four divisions, and then you have non-league as well. I mean, what they got the Premier League right now? Seven from London?
Yeah. How many is it now? Let's have a quick
put. Seven in the Prem right now, but there's 17 top-tier clubs in London, apparently.
I mean, it's insane. You can see why the city just buzzes with the tribalism of areas in the city. You know, could you imagine, I mean, Toronto having four NHL teams in different areas? I mean, that would be absolutely brilliant for the league. It'll never happen because they've got control of certain areas. Only I think they're even down to Hamilton, don't they?
I think, well, yeah, because Jim Bilsillie tried to get a team there, remember? I think,
yeah,
Kitchener-Waterloo.
And there was, yeah. I don't know if it ever came to a point of the Leafs saying no. I'm not sure they got to that point. There's a movie out there, isn't there? I think. Anyway, about Blackberry. I'm not sure whether the NHL was involved in that or not. But yeah, I'm not sure whether it came to the points with the Leafs asserting their authority or not. But there was a rumor that they could have said no.
Oh, yeah. They want to protect their brand, right? And they control the whole area. So why would they want any competition?
Yeah, exactly. But like you said, it would be the best thing for... Oh. The league, probably for Canadian hockey, especially, and probably for the Leafs too, because they have that accountability. They'd have to start doing things right. I wonder how many Leaf fans would jump ship if there was a new team tomorrow in Mississauga or somewhere.
I wouldn't
jump ship. As much as I despise everything about this club right now, it's based purely on emotion. I couldn't jump ship. It's been too long. It's been 35 years of disappointment. Can't just wash that away.
It's difficult too, because I mean, before the salary cap, they didn't spend money when they could have probably bought a contender. And then when the salary cap came in, now all of a sudden you got a little bit of a level playing field. So you got to be a little clever with your recruiting and your draft picking and how you spend your money and where you spend it up top.
Precisely. No team is mismanaged the cap era more than the Leafs. No team.
You guys understand, that JC is going to have to rewrite the song. Hockey, it's time to get the start.
I would love to host the Leafs podcast.
Pull out your sticks.
I would love it. That and the snooker podcast. Goodbye, Footy Prime.
And cricket, you always said.
I did a cricket one. Me and my mate Fred did a couple of episodes.
Yeah,
and it didn't go anywhere simply because we didn't have the time. But I don't know enough about cricket anymore, unfortunately.
I just love sports, and the difference between different leagues and how they're run, and like the success or lack of, depending on how they're operating. It's all very fascinating.
There wasn't there was a FIFA comment, World Cup FIFA comment that I wanted to pull up, but I guess I saved it and then didn't pull it in, but basically talking about what's going on with hotels. I saw an article out in Vancouver. Now the CBC came out with one in Toronto about the hotel bookings. And then there was an overall report about how, at least in Canada, and I think it's happening in the States too, that the FIFA World Cup boom isn't happening like people have expected. And then I think Dub sent us an article just about Gianni Infantino, just how he's had to play it so political with the orange guy down there. And
Jesus.
Jesus. <Yeah. laughs> The new Jesus. Jesus 2.0.
The fat one.
Yeah, fat Jesus. fat Jesus.
Lazarus, more like.
Oh, that's awesome. I love a good fat Jesus. But there's this part
of me cross.
There's this part of me that wants to be super critical about how Infantino has played this. But at the same time, he's kind of reacting to the one of the most difficult times in the history for the United States, for North America, with Mexico and Canada, with this person who's mercurial at best, you know, demented at worst. And I'm just wondering, how do you guys see the FIFA World Cup playing out? Like, if you were going to crystal ball it right now, I know it's a big crystal ball, but on the pitch and financially, what are you guys thinking? Craig, I'll let you go first. Is it going to underwhelm? Is it going to hit what it wants because the marketing will be so strong? Or, you know, and Sharms yesterday even said there are empty seats in, you know, in Russia, there were empty seats. And you see these matches where there's empty seats and you're like, oh, is that a bad thing? And we saw the Club World Cup last year, empty seats all over the place. But then the playoffs basically were fantastic. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, and fantastic play on the pitch, full stadiums, all that kind of stuff. How are you kind of crystal balling this right now? I find it very, I think it's such an important kind of topic right now.
Well, I think from the sporting standpoint, once it starts, I think it'll go well. I don't think there's an issue there, and there'll be lots of interest. So you see that before every World Cup, whether it was Russia, Qatar, whatever, you see a lot of the negative stuff coming up, coming out, and whether it's ticket prices or access to tickets or access to the country or getting in and all those different things. The U.S., Canada, Mexico, usually you would think would be a pretty safe bet, you know, as far as not having any trouble with the leadership, but that's not the case. I think where FIFA really have made a mistake is just the price of the tickets. I think the stadiums would all be packed, even Curaçao match would be packed if the tickets were at a price point where people could afford. And I think maybe the lack of the buzz in Canada, if there is, would be around the fact that only 8% of locals get an opportunity to buy tickets. And then how many of those can afford the tickets? In Toronto, what is it, $2,300 for a Category 2 ticket per ticket? Like, that's not for your general fan. We're saying, like, if you're a hardcore Canadian fan, and we haven't got that many, and we have the brilliant fans, but there's not like many of them, how many of them can access the three Canada games? And what would that cost? Roughly 15,000 for two people to travel and go to the three games.
And there was also the notion, and I thought it was, I should have been like a huge priority, was to kind of boost the Voyageurs, the Canada's national team's opportunity, their supporters' opportunity to have those tickets, to make sure they're there. You know, and I'm not sure if that's been done. I you know, you hear rumblings that, oh, they've set another set of tickets aside, but it's also nebulous and opaque, right? Like, it's not an obvious play. And the other thing for me is not understanding how these different FIFA cities franchise. It's like, it's basically FIFA Vancouver, FIFA Toronto. They're all running as different franchises of FIFA within the cities. So are they competing with each other? Are they complementary? Are they lining up their tickets based on their markets, or are they doing it across the board? Is it cheaper in Vancouver than it is Seattle? Is it cheaper in Seattle than it is Toronto? you know, all of these huge, once again, not transparent, and then all very digital, right? So there's no tactile. I got my effing ticket. This is awesome. It's like, so hey, I got my ticket.
Still, right?
And it's, yeah, it's, I got my ticket. Here's my ticket. Hey, on my phone. And then it's like, oh, I'm not where I'm supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like,
or I've been approved to get a ticket, but I haven't got my ticket.
Right.
Yet.
Right.
I thought I was paying tier one prices. I've got my ticket now. Oh no, there's a new tier just opened up, more expensive, better tickets. I've just spent $2,000 on a ticket and now I'm behind a freaking
better tickets.
Metal post. Right.
I would not want to be the better tickets guy, like sitting there going, oh, look at this. I got the best tickets. And then there's like a 6'6" Craig Forrest guy sitting in front of
yeah, me. Exactly.
A bunch of the Dutch people come over. All the Dutch are standing in front of you.
You know what I think is going to happen, though? I mean, listen, we'll find out. If 2 weeks out from the tournament, they start slashing prices. Oh, we got this new tier opened up. It's cheap. Well, no. Right? How many tickets they've sold. FIFA find a way to make these things look really great, at least to the average person. Right. So yeah. I think it will be a success. I do have a real fear that there's going to be some major soccer fatigue because there's so many games. 48 teams, it's let's not go over this, but it is way too many in my opinion. 32 is a good number. So much. I mean, with respect, and it might end up being a great game, who really cares about Cape Verde against Saudi Arabia, for example, as a match at the World Cup? And it might be a classic. It might be brilliant, and they both deserve to be there. But you look at the bigger teams, the bigger draws for the average fan. Yeah, everyone's going to watch those games. Is anyone really going to watch that type of match? Iraq against Norway? Well, maybe the Haaland factor there. Yeah, obviously, yeah. Right?
You'd be surprised.
Jordan, Algeria.
Well, think about last time when Morocco was crushing it. Like it was. You were probably going to see some dark horses come out of the woodworks.
That's a great point. And I sure as hell hope so. I'd love to see a DR Congo. How amazing would that be? Or a Haiti having a bit of a run?
Yeah.
And with eight third-place teams, you could see these teams in knockout matches for sure.
Yeah.
Canada, right?
I mean, there's certainly some games in there that aren't all that attractive. But at the same time, with the expansion of 48 teams, you have some real great storylines, like Haiti, like Curaçao. Like Iraq.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Listen, maybe because the average fan doesn't watch every game. We're going to be watching every single game. Right. And it's part of our job. Mm-hmm. I'm not complaining. I'll be loving it. But I'm just wondering, the average fan, will they at some point go, man, is this thing still on? Like, Jesus, we're still in the group phase. Is round of 32 knockout? Really? Jesus, Murphy.
Speaking of Murphy. Speaking of Murphy beds, perhaps, I'm going to quiz the panel here. You're coming to Toronto for the opening game, okay, on the 12th, and you got your tickets. How much do you think it's going to cost you to stay at a nice hotel downtown? Throw it out there.
A nice hotel, like not like...
Let's say the Royal York. Fairmont Royal York.
Are we coming for work
tonight?
Yeah, we're coming for what you're coming for. It doesn't matter. But how much do you think a hotel, let's say the Royal York, is for that night, the Friday night, the opening game in Toronto?
$800.
Okay, we got 800. Oh, we got 800. 700.
$700.
Dan.
Yeah, I thought they'd be around 800, 825. Because I looked at
if you go
about
on,
6 months ago.
Okay. So right now, if you go on to a site, a secondary resale site, or well, it's a Priceline.com, which is where I always get my stuff. Hey, Priceline, Footy Prime would like to work with you. $445.
Oh, that's not bad.
That's not bad at all.
That's New York. Jesus.
If you want to stay at, let's say, the Hilton downtown, $493. Pantages, $560. Union Hotel, $447. You want to stay by the airport, $300. Wow. It's not that expensive.
You know what's interesting, though? I did
it when you added on to your tickets.
True.
No, fair. But I looked this up, like I said, 6 months ago, and it was in the 700s, 800s. So I'm wondering if this hotel block that they've re-released and said, hey, we are no longer blocking this. And this is all FIFA, working with travel agents, working with all of the tour companies. That is what's being so difficult for these. And this is where I wanted to talk about off the pitch. I think you guys are right. On the pitch, we're going to see some great storylines, amazing narratives, all of that amazing stuff that you get out of the World Cup. But I wonder what the legacy is going to be on how you treat, how fans are being treated, if this is a good or bad thing. You know, like it feels very consumer last. Does that make sense?
Well, maybe in stadium, but I think overall it's going to be a huge success. There's going to be a vibe in these cities. Canada House in Toronto, similar thing in Vancouver. It's going to be brilliant. I really believe that. There's going to be a celebration of soccer. And in stadium, who can afford tickets? It's funny because here we are, and the big narrative is around tickets, ticket prices. That's the overbearing narrative of this year's World Cup. If you remove the whole political bullshit, it's ticket prices. 4 years ago, it was people dying building stadiums, which is way more serious. Migrant deaths, that was the big push point, right? Human rights issues. If you're gay, are you allowed and welcome to go to Qatar? They were the issues. These are just ticket prices. Jesus. Don't go. Watch it on TV.
That's what we're going to do.
Right? It is. Now, I'm not condoning what FIFA's doing here at all. I'm just saying that, to me, 4 years ago, these were way more serious issues we're dealing with. Or do you disagree with migrant deaths aren't as important as ticket prices?
Craig's all for migrant deaths, allegedly.
I just think we have an opportunity as a host of the World Cup to make some noise. The team's decent. We know that. And how great it would be if that end zone at BMO Field was packed wall to wall with hardcore, great supporters that we don't have a ton of, but we would fill it and it would be vibrant and it would be give us that little extra and the home field advantage. And I don't know if we're going to get that kind of atmosphere. You're going to get a lot of curious rich people there and probably a section of Bosnia fans that are going to be very vocal.
Yeah.
You know, so 100%. Is it a home game for more like Bosnia, as we've seen before in Canada with different national teams that come here, even Tunisia? I mean, half the stadium, 22,000 there were from Tunisia, you know.
And well, it's funny because
there are friends at Voyages. I mean, we'll reach out to them. How do you anticipate sales for these?
Yeah, I'll get DDC to send me Rob, I think, is the leader of the Voyagers. Mm-hmm. But it was interesting because I keep saying interesting, but it was great because one of the times Dubs was in, Craig and I and JC went to be with the Voyagers. We didn't have tickets and they let us stand on the seat. Like, they don't sit down the entire match. Right. And I think we were playing Honduras, Craig. And, I think, and it was brilliant. It was so much fun. And I don't know if I've had that much fun watching a soccer match ever than being with the Voyagers. So if you have a chance to join a couple of supporters club, Footy Prime Supporters Club, and the Voyagers. Because it's brilliant. Craig, you even said, this is the first time I've ever been in this. You were holding Canada's flag. You had a blast, right?
It is a blast. I mean, anybody that gets involved with it, it's a community of people that socialize together, go to games together, plan games together. It's really quite special. It really is. And there's no better place in a stadium than in the end zone with those fans watching Canada. It's
across the country, right? I mean, you have friends who hook up every few months for a Canada game from across the country. It's fantastic. The Voyagers do it really well. They do it right. Mm-hmm. And they just
It'd be interesting getting somebody on from and see exactly what's going on behind the scenes with them. And is there things planned? Is it going to be a decent end zone for us with people that we normally see there? Or are you going to go down longer? Are we going to head down there and we're not even going to recognize anybody?
Yeah, it's true. Right? It's true. There'll be a couple of Coca-Cola executives, right?
Well, at least they're wearing red
flags like this. Woo, Canada.
This soccer's awesome. How many quarters are there? Four.
Four quarters.
I'm excited to see for all the other teams. I want to know where their hubs are going to be, because if they're not going to the games, they're going to have a bar or restaurant. That's going to be their sort of spot. And we want to see, I think we can all agree that we would love to see where the Haitian fans are going to be, and where the Iraqi fans are going to be. And just to see, because there's going to be huge, gatherings of all these nations from around the world. It's going to be very interesting to see how they do it and where they do it. And we'd love to talk to some of those folks.
Well, the Germany fans will do it proper in Toronto, right, for that match. And wherever they're going to be will be a fun place. Be a lot of fun. Be a lot of them.
Yeah. Well, we have everything in Canada, so that's the potential for some big parties is great. I mean, remember the Germans won the World Cup back in, what, 06? Is it 06?
Yeah. 14.
14. Yeah, that Italy 06 one. Anyway.
Gotze. Maria Gotze.
Fantastic. Downtown Toronto was great when Germany won it.
And then very clean afterwards, right? And on time.
Yeah, efficient. Efficient party.
It's 2 a.m. Please get off the street. We're cleaning. Time to go home.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Wunger, you should pull out your old German passport and be part of that.
I actually found my German birth certificate.
Did you really?
I can't believe they wouldn't let me be German. Those damn birthrighters. Anti-birthrighters. I wouldn't want Wunger as a German. I don't know if it would work out very well.
Well, you do have the right volume of voice to be a German.
Oh, that's true. True.
That is true.
Hey, Charms, there was some backing up here for you.
Okay. Oh,
our friend War Daddy 2023. I got your back, Charms. A callus is the soft bridge made up of fibrocartilage and collagen. That friend in the early stages of bone formation after break.
Forms maybe in the early stages.
Oh, okay. I.e. part of the bone healing process. That whole segment was hilarious, by the way.
So thank you, War Daddy 2023.
I was going to ask, when you see these things, like when you looked it up, and this was it Ralph Prezo we were talking about, or was it?
No, it was Moise Bambito.
Moise Bambito, that's right. Did you go down a kind of physiological, did you go down into the medical space with it? Did you go look at it?
No, it's because I've broken bones before, and I've got a callus on my fifth metatarsal. You can feel it even today because I never got it properly dealt with. And I've got, whereas it's a little, I'm sure it's limp on my collarbone, I broke my collarbone. So I've always known it as a callus. I didn't do any research. I just assumed. And I was right. Apparently, assholes.
Calcifies.
It does calcify.
I love that. I love that you're right sometimes.
It's nice. It's so refreshing.
Yeah. When you're hosting a show to know got some information.
Yeah. We get things wrong so often, it's a surprise. Like,
yeah, right? I know.
Like, even you didn't believe
it. The assumption is, Greg, the assumption is that I'm wrong, and I understand that. Fair enough. But now and again, the assumption is incorrect as well.
The other thing I wanted to mention, I'm going to keep score for our footy picks, BetMGM, footy pick odds, because Craig is 1-0. And I have to tell you, he's a very good bettor. I don't know what he knows. I don't know who he has on the inside telling him what to do, but that we've got to need to lean into that little man that lives in Craig's brain, the betting man, because it's pretty sharp. The rest of Craig is a little frumpy now, but yeah. that little guy who's there doing all the odds, he's pretty good.
Yeah. You got to think of a few things, even nights of the week.
Well, give us your breakdown. How did you end up, like, I know you talked about it a little bit, but even The Spurs, you went under. It was 1.5, if I remember. BetMGM odds was 1.5 for total goals. You went under. What gave you kind of that sense to go, I'm going to go under? What's your process for that?
Well, the Deservey first game as a manager for Spurs, the first thing I think he's going to do is sort things out defensively. They're leaking goals. So sort that out. Get some opportunities, try to nick a result, but and then make sure you're not going to concede a bunch of opportunities. So right there, I mean, the probability for me is that it's going to be under 2.5. Sunderland, on the other hand, when you look at their last six or seven games, have only scored more than one goal maybe once in those games. They don't score a ton of goals, and they defend really, really well. So put those things together, 2.5 under looks favorable. You're not always going to get it, but if you win 60% of the time, you're ahead of the game, right? Because and then days of the week, I always think like Friday, Saturday, you know, in basketball, for instance, teams, there's a better buzz in the stadiums. There's more going on. Chances are they're going to, you know, compete. They're going to probably score more points than they are on a Tuesday night.
Right.
A little bit lackluster. And then depending on the importance of the game, blah, 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 defense can obviously become more intense. With the playoffs starting up, I'm not really sure what to do yet as far as the NBA goes, because that's a different animal altogether than it is during the league.
Craig, any tidbits for today's Champions League action?
I haven't really looked at those games yet.
No.
I've got to go to the American visa embassy to get my visa for the World Cup.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know this. What is your what's your plan for World Cup? Like, what have you been booked for already?
5 games in Toronto, the first 5, and then in the knockout stage, I go to Seattle for the round of 32, and then stay in Seattle for the round of 16.
And you're going to be calling it with and for whom?
David Stowell, English commentator who's been hired by FIFA as well. We've been in contact, haven't actually chatted yet, but we'll talk and
get him on the show too. Yeah.
Yeah. Get him on the show.
After years, he's caused a really good game.
And you're going to be doing the FIFA international feed English. Is that it?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. For any countries that want to take or part of their package, they'll have their studio show, say in Australia, and then they'll throw to the games and we pick up right at kickoff, no on cameras. Rate a kickoff, go to halftime, end halftime, no on cameras at halftime. That goes back to studio, wherever that is in the world. And then we pick up in the second half.
I'm assuming.
So, from a commentator standpoint, charms are pretty simple, other than the pressure of doing the World Cup.
You'll be in people watching. The world. Like, every network will be using that feed for most of their games. They have their domestic crew for those. I'm assuming, anyway, domestic crew for their home games, so to speak.
Exactly. Like TSN, they'll have their guys, obviously, so in Canada, you wouldn't hear me call the Bosnia game, Canada. May in the States.
The great thing, Sharms, is Craig was over at my house the other day, and he goes, you know, I can just show up in my underwear. So remember a couple times Craig has done Footy Prime in his underwear? Yeah. He's going to do that for FIFA. Just his gray tidy whiteies.
Yeah.
He's just gonna go walk. I want you to pull out the old school Fruit of the Loom, the white ones that are like the high cut ones, you know?
Yeah.
He's still going to a studio around. Or to a broadcast booth.
All saggy.
I don't think he'd get very far going to in Seattle. Going to a broadcast booth in his undies.
Stains in a little brown.
Like I haven't asked David Stowell if he's comfortable with me sitting in Y fronts next to him, but I'm sure he'll be okay.
I was hoping that when you said the English feed, I was hoping you're going to say like the Mandarin feed or something. Really surprise us. Craig's been working hard on his Mandarin.
Yeah, could you imagine? I'm doing the Mandarin feed for.
We've got 3 more, and I don't want this to start too much fighting. But there were a lot of comments about the kits. So I think we have to put this to bed. I've got 2 pros and 1 against. So our friend Sides99 said, why is everything in Canada? And this was a bit like you, Sharms. That's why I pulled it up. why does everything in Canada have to be controversial? The idea was a galazzo from Canada Soccer. Couldn't bring myself to use the term slam dunk nor home run. Italian fans get to keep their Italian jerseys and get a free one, in which the design is awesome. We are not Brazil. Soccer culture isn't deeply rooted in Canada. Doing things like this are what build the culture. Not bad. Our friend Natalie Houghton, old school. Not old, just old school footy prime friend. 2344. The jersey swap was an absolutely brilliant marketing tactic from Canada Soccer. And those have sadly been rare for the NSO. They took the opportunity to double down on Jesse's comments, which were taken completely out of context, in my honest opinion, and hopefully gain a new generation of Canadian-Italian fans who've not been able to cheer for Italy in now three World Cups, especially the kids. How amazing to get an actual jersey for the country I live in and be a home supporter. LFG Canada and see you in YVR. So much like yours, Charms, but there's one more answer that I found interesting too. And it's from our friend Isaac15. And this is, I think, kind of like why people were a little perturbed. The issue is they continuously called out the Italian community in Canada before Italy even made it to support the Canadian team. And it felt like they doubled down immediately after with the jersey swap and burning the jersey comment. Yes, I know he didn't mean it maliciously. I still, to this day, haven't seen a single thing about Bosnian Canadians needing to support Canada soccer. So it makes it look like it's genuinely targeted at Italians, not to mention the Tunisians absolutely made us look like fools in our own backyard with how loud they were. I don't know. Isaac 15 kind of got me there. He made sense to me. And I think that's what Craig and I were talking about a little bit.
I think there's some valid points. I want to mention one thing, though, that the Jesse comments were unrelated completely to this. This was planned well before he made those comments. So
this is new that you're dropping on us. So this Italian thing was always going to happen if Italy didn't make it.
And they had various versions of it, depending on the result. So Jesse's comments came out. And listen, I don't think they're a strategic to kind of amplify this plan. I don't think, but I don't know for sure. But it was happening whether or without Jesse saying those things.
Right.
And which, as everyone mentioned there, you know, we're not malicious. They were in fun.
No.
I don't agree with the whole targeting like the poor innocent victims of Italian football. It's been a long time. That is the most well-known soccer team in this country, in this city, in Toronto in particular, is Italy. It's not Canada. You watch World Cups and Euros when they're there, right? And what happens in Italy? The cameras are out. It goes national because they support their team so well. It's brilliant. So that's why they were targeted, air quotes. It wasn't ever anti-Italy. It's like, this is okay, a soft target, so to speak.
I think there was a lot of joy. I think there was, sorry, Sharms, but I think there's a lot of joy because of the pride of the Azzurri with our Italian-Canadian friends who we've all grown up with in Canada, right? There was a little too much, maybe just a little too many smiles when they got knocked out. So I'm just saying.
Like Arsenal blowing the Prem right now, right?
A little bit. Yeah.
You're kind of enjoying the failure if you're not really involved in it, just to see what happens.
Right. It's the Schadenfreude of it all, right?
Exactly.
It's like enjoying getting joy out of someone else's loss, right? Or failure.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. So
yeah,
I mean, listen, I'm sure there's many Bosnian fans, and I think we're gonna see a lot of them out at BMO Field, but there's not a little Bosnia per se, like there is a little Italy. So that's why it was easy, and I don't know.
No, there is. It's very little. It's like two houses.
But there'll be 10,000
in Caledonia. Yeah.
So yeah.
You know what? It's going to get people behind Canada is winning.
Yeah.
The place will be buzzing if they win.
It's a great point.
Regardless.
Remember Copa America? It was a couple of years ago now. There was a feeling around this country that I haven't ever felt before for this Canadian team.
That's right.
And they weren't dominating games, but they're getting results. They're playing hard. They're tough to beat. Personalities. Jesse was doing his thing. It was incredible. Yeah. There is that. And we should be able, we should be trying to get new fans, and they may be new fans who have strong connections with other nations. But you have to target those guys because they are football fans, number one. Mm-hmm. And there aren't, as we discussed on this show earlier, there aren't enough Canadian soccer fans at the moment. So if you can't have a little swagger and maybe a little arrogance at a World Cup you're hosting, when can you have it? What's wrong with this? For Christ's sakes, have a chip in your shoulder. Really? Like, why do we... So fucking Canadian. Let's apologize to them all. Oh, I was sorry. Sorry for upsetting you. Fuck off. Really? Like, have some balls, which is what they're doing. And they're being criticized for that. So, you know what? And to their merit, Canada soccer, they're saying, we don't really care, you know, all the negativity. We don't care. This is who we are now. Kind of deal with it. I like that.
Yeah.
And I love Italy, by the way, just for the record. One of my favorite countries.
I will say something about the Italian national team, that they are going through what other countries have gone through in the past, going back to the 90s when the Dutch and Cruyff became very unified in their structure, their clubs, and the way their national team play. And I remember England at that time, their arrogance of what they are in world football, that they do it right and the way we do it is the right way to do it. It became very direct football in the 80s and 90s, and it wasn't working. And also they were banned as well for, I think, 5 years. So they needed to restructure and needed to figure out a way to improve their national team and their systems. And they had ex-players being in coaches, Southgate, U-17s, U-20s. It was all very well structured, and it improved their national team immensely. The Germans in the early 2000s, they were struggling. They changed what they needed to do to make, because their pyramid in their system, their league and everything works up to the national team. They, you know, that's why their national team is so brilliant, because that is the pinnacle at the very, very top, and the clubs feed into that. The Portuguese have done something similar as well with the way they play. The Spanish have done the same thing. And the Italians are in a situation where they need to figure things out as far as their league. When you look at the top six teams, there's not that many Italians. It's certainly in the front up top in the attacking zones, very good defenders. And they still stuck with that hard-nosed defending, which they, I don't think they'll abandon, but they need to restructure their ability to produce players. They haven't got a talent problem. They got a problem in producing players, and they're not getting their opportunities because the pressures of the coaches in the top are, you know, they need results. They're not putting in the young players that are, you know, they end up sending them down to Serie B. They get kind of lost in the shuffle down there. So they'll get it right, but they just need to restructure like we've seen it with many other countries.
I mean, for the longest time, Italy, Serie A was made up of Italians, right? Wasn't it? And that was their strength. Mm-hmm. The top Italian players stayed in Italy. And now it's changing a little bit. And these other players are coming in. It's just what the Premier League experienced. And exactly. English football suffered from it as a result. And even now, I think there's only 25% of Premier League players are English or English descent, I believe. It's very low. But they've, like you said, with St. George's Park, they've committed so much money to the lower levels, the age grade, the academies, that now you're seeing this wealth of talent come through the ranks, and more English players actually playing overseas as well, which you never saw before.
There's not never a ton saw, of them. Yeah. Very rarely. And they didn't travel well, English players, generally speaking.
No,
just shows you how good the Brazilians are, because it doesn't matter where they go. They could be in Russia, Italy, England, anywhere in Europe, away from home, and they perform.
Like, did you hear, Craig? There's a rumor I read last week somewhere that as MLS are considering Neymar. I mean, I'm sorry. It ain't going to work. I mean, everyone loves Neymar and the brand and what he brings, the sex appeal. Neymar's not what he used to be. He's a shadow. He's broken down. He loves himself, loves life away from the pitch.
The marketing on that would be brilliant, though.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
They just show him rolling. Like picking up a brand and rolling. He picks up a beer, drinks it, rolls. He can be doing everything. Yeah.
It's not going to pay off. I'm sorry. I just don't think it's going to pay off. I think we've had our Neymar moment, and boy, it was fun. Maybe he'll... And listen, Hiddink says that he still could get back. So Ancelotti, sorry, Hiddink. getting mixed up, says he could still make the World Cup squad. But the fact that there's even a question mark says it all, right?
Yeah, it'd be interesting.
It'd be interesting, all right?
All attacking players in MLS tend to do very well.
Yeah, they do.
Nobody can fucking defend in the MLS.
That's great. Makes for some good games.
Well, look, Suarez can't run and he still pots goals. That just tells you. Like, if you ever see him in training, we brought it up a couple times before. They showed Suarez training with Messi, and Messi's looking older. But Suarez, like, I move better than Suarez, but he's got magic feet, right?
Suarez cannot run. Messi chooses not to run.
Yes.
Still scores 30 goals a year.
Yeah, it's insane. It's incredible.
Is that it for comments, Wonger?
Yeah, it is.
We're an hour mark.
Yeah, what a great show. Just going to say.
Yeah,
it was
fun. Yeah. Last night, I sent a note saying, what are we doing tomorrow? Because I got nothing. And there we are. And no Dubs, no Jimmy. There were some reservations, but I guess not. Thank you to the viewers and listeners who fueled this show with your comments, and we do appreciate it. We always do. Please keep them coming on all the platforms, even email. info@wearefootyprime.com. Check out our website too if you miss some shows, all the videos up there. Our newsletter, sign up to that as well. You can do that on the website. Leave us 5-star reviews. They really help. And please at least turn on the YouTube videos. You don't need to watch them. Just have them running in the background.
Just click them. Put them on loop. Put them on loop and shoot double speed just for us.
Exactly. Exactly. Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Thanks, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow, right? Or we'll be off tomorrow, actually.
Yeah, no, tomorrow, Mark Schwarzer, promo.
Oh, that's right.
Former Prem goalkeeper, right. Australian legend, and friend of wine with Craig and I in Washington, D.C. at the FIFA World Cup draw. So, yeah, we had a blast. Yeah,
send us your questions. Your fans are Chelsea fans.
Well, yeah.
Where was Mark Schwarzer? Let me quickly go
everywhere.
Through his,
everywhere.
He played a lot.
While you're doing that,
he might be in the top 10 for all-time appearances too in the Premier League. He played an awful long time.
Really?
Hmm. Yeah.
Let's have a look here. So Mark Schwarzer played for Marconi Stallions. Ooh, Stallions. Dynamo Dresden, Kaiserslautern, Bradford, Middlesbrough, Fulham, Chelsea, and Leicester. And 109 caps for Australia.
Yeah. Looking
forward to this.
He's the Australian version of Craig Forrest.
There's a slight similarity. I'm looking. If I take my glasses off, Craig.
Yeah. And he also the Socceroos beat Craig and the Canada's national team in Australia when Craig had to fly coach in the back. 36 hours. Yeah.
Okay. We want that story tomorrow.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm sure Mark will talk about it. It was one of his first games for Australia because if you remember, Mark Bosnich was not sure what the deal was, why he didn't play in that series. Suspended? No, he wasn't suspended.
It's before
he definitely wasn't suspended. Yeah. But anyway, Mark played in the game in Edmonton, which we won 2-1. Then we lost 2-1 in Sydney and then went to penalties. But back then, 1993, qualified for 94. We finished second in CONCACAF. If we beat Mexico in the last game, we would have qualified directly, but that was never going to happen. And the backdoor route was a quarter spot, wasn't even a half spot. So if we beat Australia, then we had to play Diego Maradona and Argentina. So they did go on to play, obviously, Argentina and only lost 1-0 on a fluke goal on aggregate over two games. They played really well, Australia.
He is the, as it stands, according to Wikipedia, the highest appearing non-Briton in the Premier League's history.
Yay! So tomorrow we'll be having Mark on our show. And JC, you wanted to do one more promo.
Oh, I was just going to tease something. We have our Footy Prime swag on the website, but that's fairly athletic stuff, and that's cool. It's cool, and we love it. Our Admiral stuff, it's great. there is something coming in the next week or so that's very limited and very cool that only our like top fans are going to want to, well, all of our top fans are going to want to grab that. So there's some really interesting stuff coming. You guys don't even know about it yet.
No,
but you'll see. I like this. You'll see. I'll tease it every day, but it's going to be fun.
Cool. Can we get some of this stuff?
Potentially, yeah. Yes. Well, we're going to have to.
Is it white fronts?
No, it's assless chaps.
Oh, perfect. There's my weekend cover then. That attire is always a bit of a stress for me, but now I know what I'm wearing. Hey, all right, everyone. It's Footy Prime. Layers.
Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at footyprimeig and on Twitter at footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com. Sign up for our newsletter.
All right.